Thank you for coming. Yeah. Those 7 days have almost passed.
So bravo, you now have a website as adult men.
This is a place of sanctuary.
Called Yulbarapolis.
Hello!
Of wonder.
That's right. Yeah, we're in our 30s.
There is little that needs to be said. So they will say everything.
So she sucked a dick.
Pop, pop!
Prepare yourselves. WFOD begins now.
I'm Mike, joined by my good friends Travis, Drunk, and Matt. Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAM. Our first guest is a former American Idol contestant, motivational speaker, and now author. His new book, Champion by Choice, is available October 3rd. William Hung is here. Thanks for being here, William.
Yes.
You have a new book coming out October 3rd called Champion by Choice. Is it a memoir? Is it a self-help book? Is it both?
I would say both.
It's both?
Yes.
And it kind of goes, and so I guess people who don't know your story too well, you were on the third season of American Idol. The judges were not impressed, but you were like a champion of the people.
Right.
And soon after you were on the show, you got a record contract. You sold almost a quarter of a million albums, which is...
That's true. It's crazy, I know.
Crazy, right? And so you kind of had some time in the spotlight there. And I was wondering the other day when I was talking to you, like, was there something really weird that was offered to you? Like were you, did somebody offer to, like, have you get eaten by a Sharknado or something? Or
No, none of that, no.
You didn't get anything weird offered to you that you turned down that...
When I turn down stuff, it's not because of that. Usually it's because it's just not a good fit, but nothing that weird.
And so after your recording career kind of dwindled down, you went back to school to become a math teacher, right?
Yeah. I that was my goal, but that didn't work out that way, because when I got my math degree for teaching, I have very few opportunities at the time. So I just thought, oh, you know what? Why not work for the government? And that's what I did for the last 7 years. But in the last 2 years, I realized there's more that I can do. There's a bigger impact that I can make in this world.
So you're kind of like a ambassador of smiles. Like, is that?
Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
William, so you... Do you get recognized in your, like, day-to-day kind of job where you're working at the government or anything like that, where people, like, do people find out, oh, that's William Hung from the third season of American Idol, and do they kind of give you a hard time about it?
No. People are already used to it. I mean, they obviously ask me about the background and the direction I'm going now and all that, but people are used to it.
So what did you do in the government?
I right now I work as an administrative assistant.
do you do some kind of like crime scene stuff or?
No. I used to work for the sheriff's department. That's where you might have gotten that from.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now I work for the public health department.
Oh, so you have like a regular 9-to-5 job.
Yes, but I'm also creating a new business on the side, and it's growing.
You're doing like motivational talks.
Speaking, coaching, and then now I have my book coming out.
And is that the focus of the book? Is like a are you a motivational speaker? You're teaching people to be motivational speakers. Did I get that right, or is that?
Yeah, my approach, the way I do it is I teach people how to grow their business by leveraging public speaking.
So you teach them how to pitch themselves, I guess.
Yes. The idea is that the people that I'm helping, they don't have to be full-time professional speakers or professional speakers at all. The idea is that they have something that's worth sharing with the world, whether it's real estate ideas, whether it's the medical field. As you can imagine, right now, the world has so much noise. It's very hard to get people's attention.
Absolutely.
So that's why I help them to craft a message so that people will care about what they have to offer.
What I would ask you, and I think anybody that would be interested in buying your book, right now, we're the WFOD podcast. What advice would you give to us that would help me help WFOD, the radio show, get our message out to the world?
Well, the best way is to be authentic and not be afraid of the failure. Don't worry about pleasing everybody because you won't.
Right.
So it's more like trusting the value that you have to offer. But of course, you do need to know that what you're offering is valuable to your audience, and you could only do that by testing it, by putting yourself out there. There's no magic bullet. There's no magical answer here. It's about being willing to fail and fail forward.
And that's something that I don't think anybody could ever accuse you of being, is being inauthentic. I think that through everything, that's kind of like your whole MO, which it's weird because when I was reading about you, I was reading about that you were accused of perpetuating, like being a race traitor and perpetuating stereotypes, when I think it was pretty obvious that you weren't being anything but you, which
yes,
it's crazy to me that you were being accused of that. Was that hurtful or did you just kind of say, well, yeah, I'm Asian, so I do things that
it definitely bothered me, and I go into detail for one of my chapters in my book, but I'm more empathetic because I understand where they're coming from.
So I guess that would probably be worse than people saying that you're less than a great singer.
Yeah, because I know I can't compare myself to other talented singers like Carrie Underwood or Usher, and that's okay.
Who would you compare yourself to?
Nobody.
Yeah, I wouldn't compare him to anybody.
Nice.
He's him. So is William Hung a return to singing in the cards for you, William? Is there a chance that you'll get back up there one day and belt a couple tunes out, or is that chapter of your life over?
No, it's never over, and I don't like the word over because there's always potentially opportunities for me to just entertain people. Because entertainment, the goal, if you think about it, the goal of entertainment is to make people happy.
Right.
It's to relieve people of their stress. It's not about necessarily having the best musical talent. But I would say my priority though is to focus on my speaking. So when people ask me if I sing anymore, like you, I tell them I usually sing in my speeches.
Oh, you just incorporate it in there.
Because
you're an ambassador of smiles, William, is what you are.
Yes, yeah.
So, guys, the book is called Champion by Choice. It's going to be on bookshelves October 3rd. William, thank you for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Good luck with the book.
No problem. And one more thing. The easiest way for people to reach out to me is to go to my website, willhung.com.
Willhung.com. Link to the book is in there. I guess you probably have social media, yes, too. You got William Hung on Twitter and Instagram, yes, and stuff.
Yes.
Cool. Appreciate it, William.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. WFOD.
Yeah, man.
Oh, boy.
That William Hung, huh?
I'll tell you.
What a good guy. Hey, sorry I didn't have any questions for him, but I thought you were doing such a good job, I didn't want to interrupt the flow.
Guys, it's Tuesday night. We're live on strangelabel.com. Travis.
I mean, I think that's like the high point right there, right?
What?
William Hung.
No, drunk. Actually, in a little bit, we're going to be talking to Anderson Cowan. He has a new film coming out called Groupers.
Man, so, yeah, that's a hell of a show.
Yeah, drunk. We got a lot going on.
It's like
we're busy little beavers. You know what I'm saying? Drunk, busy little beavers.
Don't piss around anymore. If we need to pack two guests in a show, we pack two guests in a show.
Right. What are we going to do? Extra shows, Travis? I'll tell you what. When we were doing two shows a week, when I was putting out stuff from 400. People didn't like those extra shows. Now, drunk, I think a lot of shows, like if you did more shows, the people would be like, oh.
more content.
Bonus shows. But our people, they were like, no.
Too much.
I like one show a week.
And don't go over an hour and a half, please.
Right. You do it short, and you give us one. And I'll tell you, when we were doing two shows a week, our download numbers dropped like 25%. You'd think, oh, extra episode, download numbers go up. Nope, yeah, not the case, Travis.
I feel like maybe that kind of dictates our format then, right? Like, there's one in particular podcast that I listen to and actually donate to on the Patreon. And that show goes 2-3 hours most of the time. And being a Patreon member, you get bonus shows like once a week and once a month. Like there's all sorts of, and I'd gobble that shit up. But apparently the people who listen to this show, they decide 1 hour a week.
Yeah, that's it.
Is plenty.
We got enough of you guys.
Yeah, no Rogan for us. We can't do daily
shows. No need to spoil us. We're happy as is, boys. You know what I'm saying, Travis?
Right. And we were talking about adding perks to our Patreon page, like bonus episodes, right? Like one a month or something, and moving some things over to Patreon.
I think that we're still talking about that, Travis. Aren't we? I think the Hollywood Fantasy League needs to move over to Patreon just to be like when we do not the updates every week, but maybe the draft could be a Patreon thing.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
You know, it's not even so much to like get people over there as much as like the dedicated patrons that we have. I feel like we need to give them something. I feel bad that like we give them so little because they've been with us for a pretty long time. I mean, they pay our bills and we give them nothing. I guess we give them this. But everybody gets this.
Little bonuses once in a while. They got the entirety of the 12-hour marathon, which our regular listeners didn't get.
Right. Yeah, I took a couple hours of that over there. Because I'll tell you, Trevor, the numbers, they were going down, which is weird to me. It's weird.
Yeah, so, you would think more content needs more ears.
Guys, I enjoyed talking to William Hung. You know what, Travis? He sold a quarter of a million albums. Travis, I was one of those.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people. That was a special time, right? What was that? Season 3 of American Idol? What would that have been? Like 2000 and what? Like
yeah.
4 or something? 3?
I didn't mention to William Hung that I purchased his album. I didn't want him to think of me as a fan. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Travis, I wanted him to think of me as like... You know,
were fanboying out, though.
You wanted to be like a professional.
Right. I mean, like me and William Hung, like, you know, we're just having a conversation. I didn't want to make it weird for him.
Yeah. It's not like you were at an American Idol convention or something. You were trying to get his autograph and things. Like, he expected it. Like, we're doing a professional interview scenario here. Like,
I pulled out my William Hung CD today. It has not one, not two, but 3 Elton John songs on it. 2 of which were from the Lion King soundtrack.
A Circle of Life and Can't You Feel the Love Tonight?
Yeah. I think those are the two, Travis.
Yep.
Travis, there was an Apple event today. Did you see the Apple event?
Didn't they announce a new phone that's really not a new phone or something?
Yeah, it does the same thing your old one does.
It has two extra camera lenses.
Yeah, it has 3 cameras on the back of it now. They're just like, yeah, guys, this one has 3 cameras on the back.
What do you need that for?
I don't know. I think that we're done innovating, aren't we, at this point? I mean, like, all we're doing is improving on...
Well, I mean, I'm sure, you know, so the technology gets better. It really does, but it's more of a 5-year process as opposed to a 1-year process. So...
And then, but the problem is they make them disposable after a year, so you're forced to get the new one. Everything that's happened in the last couple of phone updates has been stupid shit that makes me hate the new phones, like taking the screen to the edge of the phone. Like, that's not... I got to put a case on this thing.
Yeah, don't Apple events for Apple owners pretty much just means, hey, your phones are about to get shittier.
Yeah, your battery is going to die. Everything's going to get bricked. Give us another $1,500. Yeah.
We're going to come up with this update. So if you do have an Apple 4, it's not going to work anymore because it's not compatible.
I think everything previous to a 7 is shot now.
That's terrible.
On the Twitter, Travis, I don't know if you checked the Twitter today, but they were telling me about this new ailment that people have that I didn't know was a thing. It's called a trypophobia. And it is an aversion to sight of irregular patterns. So the new iPhone has 3 cameras that are like kind of like in a triangular pattern, but like I guess they're not straight up and down. So it's freaking people out, and they're going, "Oh no, I don't."
So all of these people that have this ailment must hate MC Escher art,
right? Yeah, no, it's not all on the straight. And I get it. Like, you know, if I'm walking down the hall at my work and like there's some boxes stacked up in the boxes.
Is it
boxes
a phobia or more of a OCD
thing? I think it's an OCD thing. Yeah, because like, you know, if I see stuff that isn't lined up right, then I usually line it up. So I get it. But I mean, I you don't really look at the back.
You walk out of wild at stuff because
since you bring this up, let me ask you real quick.
That's just smart, Drunk. Then you can find them. Like, you know, what happens if I find out tomorrow that I'm interviewing William Hung and I have to find my William Hung CD?
You know how I do my DVDs?
It's in the
house.
H's, Drunk.
I just do it by color.
H for Hung.
The black ones and then the white ones.
Since we're talking about organizing and things, like, I have to bring this up because I feel like I have, it's like an OCD thing that I have. When you eat Skittles, how do you eat your Skittles? Do you just grab a handful and throw them in your mouth?
Throw them in, yep.
See, what I do is I'll dump some either like, you know, like on the counter, on my hand, on my desk or whatever. And I will eat all of the ones that don't have matching colors. Right. So if I have, say, I have 5 reds, 5 purples, 5 oranges, 6 lemons and, you know, 7 green, I'll have to eat a green. I'll have to eat a yellow.
Oh, to have even numbers?
So I have even numbers of all the colors.
Yeah,
like
I eat down
to even numbers of the Skittles.
See, I do it in a weird way, but I can rationalize it. Your way is just weird. But my way is I eat the colors I don't like first so that by the time I get down to the colors I like the best, then they'll be the flavor that stays in my mouth the longest.
Oh, sure. I see that.
You two are fucking weirdos, dude.
Yeah, see, the way I do it, if I have singles, I'll eat the singles. And then if I have, say, two random colors, like a green and a yellow, I'll eat those together. And then if I have like a red, a purple, a green and a yellow, I'll eat those together until I'm all down to like the exact same number of colors.
Yeah, yeah. Orange and purple, they go first.
So do you do this with M&Ms too?
No, M&Ms all taste Reese's, the same.
Yeah, Reese's Pieces.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys.
No, I mean, M&Ms and Reese's Pieces, they all taste the same, so I'll just eat a handful of those. But Skittles
I'll grab a handful of them, but if okay, I see so, them on my in my hand or if I see them on the counter, like I have to divvy them up.
What about gummy bears?
Oh no, gummy bears is strictly just shove them in your face.
Yeah, you just shove them in.
But they're different flavors.
Yeah, but I mean, it's gummy bears.
It's all mixed together. This is like gummy bears, gummy worms, doesn't matter. Shove them all in.
So Drunk, you were off last week. You have anything exciting happen to you? Is it fun, exciting week with the drunkard?
Yeah, I mean, went 5-1 in fantasy. So.
You're in six fantasy
leagues?
Six leagues.
That's too many leagues, Drunk.
It's six leagues.
It can be a bit overwhelming for sure.
So, like, do you get up Sunday morning and check all of your lineups?
When you got that many teams, it's a little tough to tinker. So,
are you kind of rooting against some people that you? I mean, I would imagine it would be difficult to root for anyone because you probably have all different guys in all different leagues, right?
It's yeah. I mean,
there's conflicts of interest there.
There's plenty of players that I have zero stock of. And I try to keep them pretty close.
Yeah.
Like
so you like to get your favorites.
Right, like Josh Jacobs, I got him in like four of the six leagues.
So like you do have games where like last night you could have been cheering against Lutz kicking field goals.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Travis, did you follow all the Antonio Brown drama this week?
Oh, I've been following this since it started because I've been watching Hard Knocks on HBO, which wrapped up last week.
I did watch the Hard Knocks. It was pretty good this year.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it very much.
So for the people who aren't too familiar, he was holding out because the NFL switched helmets.
No, you got to go back to the beginning. Like, first of all, the Raiders gave the Steelers a third and fifth round draft pick and paid Brown's salary because the Pittsburgh Steelers did not want to trade him to anybody in their division, especially the New England Patriots. So the Raiders got him. And within the first couple of weeks of being a Raider, he went into a cryo chamber and burned his feet because he didn't wear any foot protection. So his feet were all fucked up. So he wasn't able to play in practice because he burned, like, essentially, like, freezer burned his feet. Then.
And they were gnarly, dude. They were
fucking not good.
Was it his first time?
Well, he did it in France, too, which is.
Oh. So then he wanted to wear his old helmet, but they said, no, you can't wear
right,
that. We switched helmets.
Helmet certifications in the NFL last 10 years. The helmet he liked would just turn 10 this year. Tom Brady had to do the same thing. But he didn't bitch about it. So he filed
Well, because it's in the interest of safety, I imagine.
Correct. He filed two grievances with the NFL, and they said, fuck you. Find a helmet that's in the protocol.
Right. Yeah, it's not like there's one helmet that he could wear. There's plenty to choose from.
And so he decided on a helmet, but
they said he said it was obstructing his vision.
But then the GM sent him a letter that said, hey, man, you missed a bunch of practices and walkthroughs.
Because of your feet and the helmet.
So we're going to fine you for all the practices you missed. And then
$60,000.
He posted.
The guy's making $30 million. They're going to fine him like $59,000.
So he posted that on Instagram and was like, this is stupid that they sent me this letter. And then got into a screaming match with the guy who sent him the letter. So then they were going to cut him.
And he called him a cracker.
He said he was going to punch his boss in the face. Then he punted a football across the field and walked out of practice saying, fine me for that.
So then the coach called him on the phone and they talked it out. And he said, hey, man, I'll come back. He apologized to his team.
And he recorded it without the coach knowing.
And then he recorded
the- And he edited a video together with it. Like within a day, he must have had somebody on staff, and he said, "Hey, I got this recording that I secretly recorded John Gruden and me talking on the phone. Could you edit a video together of clips of me throwing the ball and training in my pool?"
So this was all the stuff that I just said was like this weekend. And so then he asked to be dropped by the Raiders.
No. He didn't ask to get dropped by the Raiders. He posted on Instagram, "Release me."
Oh yeah, well that was after they find him enough to void his contract so that he'd be playing week to week.
Yeah, like they essentially voided $29 million of his $1 million or coach, of his $30 million.
I think the coach wanted to keep him,
mm-hmm.
and the GM didn't.
Well, he is one of the, you know, the better receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you want him on your team, but he is a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, except he's a cancer to the locker room.
Yeah, but he's really good at football, Travis.
Right. So they finally said, after John Gruden wanted to keep him, and they had that nice conversation on the phone where John Gruden said, "You're a hell of a football player. Let's do this." And he's like, "Yep, I'm sorry." The very next day, it was Saturday, I believe, he posted "Release me" on Instagram. So finally, the Raiders were like, "You know what? Fuck this." They released him, and within a couple of hours, the Patriots signed
him. It was an hour and a half later.
Yeah, an hour and a half later, the Patriots signed him. The one team that the Pittsburgh Steelers did not want to trade him to.
Which, I mean, like, is perfect, because everybody hates them because they're kind of the evil empire.
Right. They're the Patriots.
Belichick has a really good way with some of these, like, more hot-headed players. Like, he signed Randy Moss a handful of years ago and calmed him down, and they got a good year and a half out of Randy Moss where he like was back to form. But it's just like really fishy that Antonio Brown wanted to go to New England initially. They wouldn't trade him to New England. He went to the Raiders, and then he started acting like an insane person for a good 2-4 months, just acting crazy.
And then in 90 minutes
he's on the Patriots.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, they're almost like the Detroit Red Wings of 20 years ago, where they just pick up, you know, Brendan Shanahan and Dominic Hasek.
Right. We'll just take everybody.
But like the tinfoil hat conspiracy here is that Antonio Brown talked to Belichick a long time ago saying he wanted to be on the team, and they were feeding him shit like, "Hey, just be crazy."
Yeah, just so be they crazy.
probably figured that the foot thing would do it. And then they probably figured the helmet thing would do it. Then they probably figured the threatening your boss would do it. And none of it worked until finally he just said, "Release me," and they released him.
There is a secondary tinfoil hat theory about that, too. You remember when he got his fucking bell rung by Vontaze Burfict?
Oh, yeah.
So he wasn't really that crazy before that hit. And then ever since
Think that the hit made him crazy?
Yeah, they're talking about the CTE of that hit making him crazy.
Ooh. I thought they all had to go through like brain checks and shit now, though, because of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I mean,
well, you could probably pay his way out of that.
Absolutely.
Travis, let's go to break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Thank you, guys. Thank you. We'll be back.
Dubfod goes hard.
Tell me, Dylan, do you know what a hate crime is?
Of course I do. And now you're doing this to us, so this is a hate crime. You're hate crime-ing us.
That checks out. That actually works. This is a hate crime because you hate crimes, and this is a crime.
Totally.
You done?
Strangely, we like all the same pop culture bullshit that you like.
WFOD is proud to bring you the latest in cutting-edge podcast interactivity. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Travis the Magnificent.
Tonight's trick is very dangerous. Only someone with my years of magician experience should attempt such a trick, as it will blow your mind. Tonight I am going to cut my lovely assistant Yolanda in half. Yolanda, if you could get in the box, please. Seal this up right here and right here. Okay, now you can see this is a saw. I'm starting to cut Yolanda in half. I'm cutting I'm cutting. I'm through? Oh, moving the boxes away from each other. You can see her head on this side of the stage, and her legs are on this side of the stage. Magic. But we don't want to leave Yolanda like this forever, so let's put Yolanda back together again. Slide the boxes. Attach this. Attach this. Yolanda, open it up. She's back together. Travis the Magnificent.
Take a ride in the sunrise, down across the sand. Just you and me, and W-F-O-D.
Here's Drunk with a look at the weather.
Our obesity epidemic can be best described as a boiling pot of rice. It keeps getting hotter, and we keep getting softer and fatter. Destined to a life of struggle and no polar bears. Now back to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
Baby, I don't feel so good. Six words you never understood. I'll never let you go. Five words you never say. Laugh alone like nothing's wrong. 4 days has never felt so long. If three's a crowd and two is us, one slipped away. I just wanna make you feel okay. But all you do is look the other way. I can't tell you how much I wish I didn't wanna stay. Da-da-da. I just kinda wish you were gay.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest.
Is there a 12-step?
All right, Trump.
I'm good. Are you all right?
I guess so. Our next guest is a filmmaker whose new film, Groupers, screens in select cities October 1st. For info on the film and links to his various podcast projects, go to AndersonCowan.com. Anderson Cowan is on the program. Anderson, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, how do you know how to say my name? That's pretty good.
Anderson, I don't screw around, man.
I like that. Pretty much about 90% of people say Cohen. And I grew up with a dad who was kind of like, he was a smaller man and he liked to start confrontations. And people would say, you know, like, Cohen, party of five, ready at the Chinese restaurant. And my dad would get in their face and be like, please don't try and change my religion. Like, you know, suggesting that they were suggesting he was Jewish. And it stuck with me. So I never correct anybody, but I tell people they got it right when they get it right.
Is your dad the bagel boss?
My dad had a little bagel boss in him for sure, a little bit.
Anderson, the movie, the Groupers movie, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. The adult big wheel, though, that's what I want to talk to you about.
I'm looking at it right now.
You have it in your house.
I'm in my backyard, and I'm looking at it as I speak to you. Yes.
Where do you get an adult big wheel?
On the internet. They sell everything over there.
Sounds like a good store.
Just hop on Amazon and.
I actually saw something really cheesy on Shark Tank years ago, and it was a version of that. And I thought immediately, I must have one of those. And I sat down and I wrote an entire movie so that I would have an excuse to buy one. That's a lie. But I remembered, I kept that in my head. And then when I was afforded an opportunity to write it into the script, I absolutely did. And I think it works for that character.
So people were probably like, Anderson, are you firm on this? And you're like, absolutely.
You know what's funny is it cost like $150. And I remember I sent my producer the receipt and he was furious. He's like, Anderson, that's like 15% of our budget for props. I'm like, yeah, but it's cool.
Yeah, and I'm keeping this.
And I'm keeping it. I'm staring at it right now. Yeah, if the movie does well, maybe I'll auction it off.
And you can tell it works because that's the first question Mike asked. So
it had a lasting effect on me.
I got a 2-year-old, and I put him on his little big wheels, and then I ride that, and we ride around the neighborhood, and the neighbors don't like us much, but we look pretty cool out there.
So did you start off on Loveline? Is that the first thing that you kind of did in the public eye? Because you were with them for what, 17
Pharrell.
Years?
Scott Pharrell on the bench. You guys familiar with him?
Shake It Up, right?
Shake It Up, Shadoobie. Yeah, that was I was obsessed with that show when I was on a lot of opioids. I broke my back and I was on 22 Vicodin a day. It was all prescribed. The doctor prescribed me 22 Vicodin a day. Jeez. And I just lay around recovering from
Anderson,
my broken back.
I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but that's too many.
It was a lot, I know. And looking back, it was awful. I actually quit. I would rather feel the pain than the itchiness and the nausea that it brought on. But what's weird with opiates is when you're doing them, you listen to a lot of talk radio. So I assume that you have a lot of opioids listening right now, opioid addicts. And I became obsessed with Pharrell on the Bench. And I started listening every night. And I went down and I saw him do a remote show at a bar. I got hammered and we hit it off and he invited me to the studio and I just never left.
And then eventually you ended up doing Loveline for like a really long time.
Yeah. Like a decade and a half of Loveline.
How's that Dr. Drew?
He's okay. He's all right.
All right, guy.
Yeah, I'm about to, I'll probably be seeing him later in the week or next week talking about the movie.
Are you going to the sober house? To see
no. No. I'm way too drunk usually. They don't let me in the door. They'd smell my breath and they're like, no, sorry, buddy.
He doesn't do Loveline anymore. Now, doesn't he just have like 6 podcasts?
For all intents and purposes, Loveline's dead. I know there's still a version out there circulating. I might even actually call them up and see if they'll have me on as a guest to talk about groupers. But it's not the real Loveline anymore.
It's not Dr. Drew. It's like that last season of The Man Show with...
it's like Stanhope.
Stanhope and Rogan. What happened to Rogan? He's just went off into obscurity.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's out fishing somewhere.
It's funny because Jimmy Kimmel and Carolla are giant, you know, on their own. And then it was like, who are these two idiots that are like filling in for them? And Stanhope's still doing his thing, but Rogan is like massive.
Yep.
The Groupers movie.
Mm. Yes.
We need to talk about the Groupers. So you're doing like screenings on October 1st in a bunch of cities.
Yeah.
And I guess you have to sell a certain amount of tickets to get.
Yeah, it's one of those things because we're little guys over here. We don't have any big, you know, names or faces in the movie to get people's asses in the seats. And nobody knows me yet. So, yeah, you notice I use the word yet. But it's playing for a full week out here in L.A., in Los Angeles, at the Lemley Music Hall in Beverly Hills, beginning September 27th. And then we're moving to Atlanta, New York, Chicago, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C., if we hit the threshold.
And are you close to those? Or
There's some movement. There's movement. People are buying. We have September 24th is the deadline. And it's really just to keep the buzz going. I mean, most people are going to watch this thing on their computer or through their Apple TV or on their fucking phones.
And do you have a date for when that's available?
I was just talking to the distributor today, and it looks like sometime probably, my guess is November, mid-November.
It's hard to get people's asses out of their houses, right? Like, I mean, unless it's like a blockbuster, like event thing where people are worried about getting it spoiled, it's hard. I even find myself, like, even movies that I really, really want to see, it's hard to get my ass out. Like,
yeah, I heard you talking last week about how, you know that you're going to want to watch the new Rambo, but it's going to come and go and you're not going
to
see it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to do that. So what are you doing to try to entice people to get them out of their houses and to Groupers?
Well, wheelbarrow full of dicks is one thing that I'm doing.
Oh, of course. That's a genius idea.
It's the WFOD bump, Travis.
The bump, the much needed bump that we need. I've been talking into microphones for like a little over a decade now, talking about movies every week on a couple different film podcasts. So I got all those people who really want to watch the movie. So I'm hoping that they come out and I'm just making the rounds. And what I did when I made Groupers, we haven't really even talked about it at all yet, but it involves the Chinese finger trap and men's manhood and homophobia. And I was hoping to make my goal was to make a movie that was pretty far out there. And when you see it, you want to talk to people about it. So I'm hoping that people see this movie and then they want to tell their friends about it. That's kind of the movie that I hope I created.
Yeah, I feel like you completely succeeded because there are like my question, I guess, with this movie was, did you have just like certain set pieces in mind and then kind of built out from there? Or did you have like the general core concept and just kind of built around that?
Shameless plug here. Okay, my film podcasts are The Film Vault and Cinematics, but strangely enough, it wasn't on either one of those shows. It was on a show called The After Disaster with a guy named Mike Carano. I don't know if you guys know Mike Carano. He's kind of famous over at the Hollywood Improv. He and I have been doing a show with our buddy Tyler, much like yours. It's very similar to your show, yet with zero production. I mean, they're not just open the mics and start talking. We have no idea what we're going to talk about. There's no meetings, nothing. It's very anti-radio because I came from radio and I wanted to create something really loose. Anyways, we talk about anything and everything. And one day on the show a couple years ago, I said, hey, what happened to Chinese finger traps? I used to see them all the time when I was a kid, but have you guys seen one? And then my buddy Mike Carano immediately said, oh, I just thought of a great torture if you put two dicks in them. And then I thought, oh, what if those two dicks were connected to homophobes? And the only way they could get out is they had to get aroused for each other. And then I quickly shut up because I love the idea. And I went home, opened up a bottle, and started writing. And here we are 3 years later, and I have groupers.
So you thought to yourself, quit expanding. I want to steal this.
Steal is a harsh word. It's a harsh word. But yeah, he came up with the dicks in the very sophomoric idea of the dicks in the trap. And then I took it to the highbrow level that we needed, which is, well, what if they're homophobes and they had to, you know, choose to be gay?
Mike, why are we not as ambitious as Anderson here? How long ago did we come up with Concrete Jungle, our giant tiger movie?
See, the thing is, I bet that groupers, although I enjoyed it a great deal, I don't think Groupers is the white whale. I think this is probably something to establish himself, and he has a big one in mind, Travis.
Nailed it. How'd you know that?
So now we need to come up with a smaller idea finance Gotta Concrete Jungle. Small.
Travis, our giant tiger movie can't be our first movie because the tiger's going to look like shit. We got to do like two or three small movies to tell people, hey, guys, we got ideas. You know what I'm saying?
You guys could do a trilogy and you start with Paper Tiger and it can look like shit. And then you move to Wood Tiger. It looks a little better. And then you'll have a budget for Concrete.
Right. And I mean, we were talking about getting Michael Keaton and stuff. And I mean, we're not
Richard Dreyfuss, Michael Keaton.
Anderson, I was listening to something on your website that you were talking about how you encourage filmmakers to spend a certain amount of their budget to get like a big name. I think you mentioned like Eric Roberts or something like that.
Yeah, he'll do anything.
I had an idea a couple of weeks ago and I wanted to run it by you just because like we kind of had parallel thinking there. Have you heard of Cameo?
Oh yeah.
The website where you can pay Jennifer Love Hewitt $150 to wish you a happy
interesting
birthday.
Yes. What are the bylines there? Bylaws? Are you allowed to use that for whatever you want?
See, that's what I was wondering, Anderson. Could you get Jennifer Love Hewitt to like make a FaceTime call with your protagonist and just say a couple lines and then just be like, oh, Jennifer Love Hewitt's in this movie. She was
that's
on
a great loophole. That's a genius. My best friend's a copyright attorney, and I'm going to, as soon as I'm off the phone with you guys, I'm going to call him up and see if, have him go over the fine print.
You get a lot of big name stars for a reasonable amount of money.
Because, I mean,
somebody's going to make a Cameo movie.
I can spend hours watching Snoop Dogg's cameos where, like, he's telling people that they need to go to a certain car dealership and stuff. And I mean, like, they have to be using that for something. They bought something from Snoop Dogg where he's plugging their car dealership.
Right. Yes.
So
I wonder if movies? Yeah. I don't know. This is great, though. I love
you
this.
You just opened Anderson's eyes, dude. He's like, oh my God.
There has to be a way that this dude that isn't legal.
Stinking
though.
Genius.
Well, I mean, forgive me. I don't spend much of my day on the old Cameo site watching Snoop Dogg talk about car dealerships. But if that is in fact what he's doing, you have to imagine they're using that, and he knows they're using that for commercial purposes.
Right. So I mean, if you just say, like, I think you can get Norm MacDonald for $300.
You'd have to pick somebody who's like not real bright. I can see Gary Busey, like, and you buy a number of them, and they're all in succession, and they're like pages, they're like sides. That's what you call, you know, like a couple pages from the script, and they won't realize that they're actually reading an entire script over, say, 3 months.
Now you just took it to a whole nother level. You just constantly keep buying cameos from Gary Busey, and just your script.
Yeah, but then at the end of the day, I just realized the fault with that plan is that you have Gary Busey in your movie and you've spent a fortune, so that's no good.
Yeah, you got to get somebody that's like $20, like
it's a whack pack.
Right. Yeah, I think all of them are on there. Like,
yes, they are.
The gal from AP Bio that wears the big glasses, she does them for like $13.
Yeah, I think Caitlyn Jenner, right? She does them for $1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would be.
There's something there, though. I love this idea, guys. It's not diabolical.
Big. So October 1st, where can people go to find the links to buy the tickets?
Well, I would hope that my publicity team sent you guys a link. If not, it's pinned to the top of my Twitter page, which is Anderson Cowan, Cowan. at Anderson Cowan. I have that right up there, and you just hit the link. And yeah, you gotta buy the tickets by September 24th. We have to meet the thresholds in the various cities. Or if you live out here in LA, you can see it at the Lemley Music Hall, and then it'll be on the platforms. But really, what I was getting at with this movie is that most people, or many people that are extremely homophobic, tend to be gay themselves.
So that's the message?
I didn't realize it was a message movie until I started doing these things, and a lot of the outlets are calling this a message movie, which I guess it is. But that it goes with my my tagline, which is homophobia is gay.
I guess, yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, there's a message there, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and when you talk about it, it's like most of our politicians who are extremely homophobic who try to create laws, it always comes out like a year or two down the line that, oh, they got a bunch of gay porn on their computers.
Yeah, they got a hypocrisy of it all. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Church people with their pedophilia and whatnot. Speaking of pedophilia, I mean, this is the first in what I want to do is a trilogy, which is my comeuppance trilogy. And I targeted the homophobes with this one. The next one I'm targeting the pedophiles. And then my white whale is the big game hunters, like the guys that pay $100,000 to shoot a giraffe.
In a nature preserve.
Yeah. Like I really want to. I have a script for those fuckers, and I really want them to get their comeuppance, because there's nothing better than seeing a movie where you hate a certain type of person. They're in that movie, and then you get to see them get all fucked up. I love it.
That is also my favorite thing too, is when you have a villain so repulsive that you just can't wait to see their demise.
Yes, it's so satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
So is it like a zombie rhino? What gets the big game
hunter? I can't.
He's not going to tell you.
You guys are idea guys, and you have microphones in front of your mouths. Like, you guys might be the last people I should tell this idea to.
Yeah, he's not going to give you his idea. This is white whale, like you said.
It's a pretty sweet idea, though. I got to tell you that. I hope to come back with you guys in a few years.
Zombie rhino, that sounds pretty fun, right?
I mean, you can't go wrong with the zombie anything, especially if it's big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into that. Well, absolutely. You got to come back with your pedophile movie. You got to come back with your big game hunter movie.
Yeah.
And we absolutely wish you huge success with Groupers. I think we both enjoyed it very much. And I think everybody who gives it a chance will also enjoy it.
I think it's going to be a rhino so much. Tornado.
Was that the rhino?
Rhino-nado?
Tornado? Yeah.
Tornado.
Right. You know what? If we all live long enough, we probably will see that. All right, thanks very much for having me on, guys, and thanks for watching the movie.
Take care, bud.
Thanks, Anderson.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Charlie, I like Anderson.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Guys,
made a movie.
Guys, you need to reach out, figure out how you can see Groupers in your area.
Right, it's in all the major cities. Which.
Yep. And if you're not in a major city, as soon as it hits VOD, go ahead and click that buy button.
I'm sure he'll be happy if you watch it on the Divd or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Follow him at Anderson Cowan.
He's got three podcasts too, Travis. And on his website, I don't know if it's a podcast or if it's just on there, but he has like a bunch of things where he talks about like the making of like the whole process. I think this is like his first movie, and so like the process of making the movie. It was interesting. I listened to a couple of them earlier, and he was talking about, now he's talking about all the publicity that he's doing for
it. Yeah, I took a look at that myself, and I thought that was a very interesting way to do it, is to kind of go step by step in the process. And I thought that's a good way to keep yourself motivated too, right? Is kind of sharing step by step where you're at and to get people invested into what you're doing. So
right,
yeah,
right.
I think he's doing the right thing.
Travis, I got fooled by the White Claw this week.
Did you drink one?
No, see, well, Travis, what happened was, you know, like last week or the week before with all the Popeyes drama. See,
by the way, real quick, I was just at Buffalo Wild Wings tonight. They just released a Southern chicken sandwich that looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like batter their chicken sandwich, and then they toss on the bun. It's a huge giant chunk of chicken, just like the Popeyes and all that too. And I didn't eat it, so I can't give you a report.
I was about to say, so hang on a second. So Travis walks into the Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm assuming he's there for one thing.
Oh, wings. You got it, baby.
Wings.
Beer.
Oh.
And wings.
Travis's entire life revolves around.
How often do you stray from the wings at Buffalo Wild Wings?
Literally never.
That's why I assumed. Okay, so you go in, you get the bone in or the bone out?
Always traditional.
Always bone in. So you are you spicy? Are you
Well, I'm a spicy guy, but the wife, she's kind of hit or miss on the spicy, depending on what the flavor is. So, what we always do,
if Travis has bones in his wings or not, really worth interrupting my groove?
Yeah, fuck you.
I mean, I feel like it is.
I care more about Travis's wings than your White Claw. That's for goddamn sure.
Well, we'll get back to the White Claw, but real quick. We always split up a large wing between a couple of flavors. We always have Thai curry and Parmesan garlic.
A large wing? You order how many
like
you
a
want,
24 piece
right?
or whatever.
No, you can't order how many you want anymore. It's like you either get a snack, a small, a medium, or a large.
That's stupid.
Well, that way they can trick they can randomly reduce the amount of wings you get.
No,
charge you the same amount
Travis,
of money.
Because they do it by weight now as opposed by...
I'm against it.
Right.
Wings, they're a racket, Travis.
But I'll tell you what, though, and they are a racket because now on Tuesday nights, Buffalo Wild Wings does buy any size wing, get the exact same size wing for free. So what we do now that they do buy one, get one,
two mediums.
We do two large, and tonight we got Parmesan garlic and Thai curry, and the second one we got Nashville hot. Which is very good.
I love it.
And then Chipotle barbecue rub.
See,
I'm
a spicy garlic guy. The spicy garlic wings there are fire.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's not many that I don't like. I like jam and jalapeno, bourbon honey mustard or whatever is really good. But we always get Thai curry and Parmesan garlic and then just toss some other
shit. You know, Travis, we moved to Tuesdays. And I said, hey, Travis, you want to move back to Mondays? And you said, we can't move back to Mondays. Because there's a wing special that you go to. And now we're talking about your Tuesday wing special.
Well, see, this is the thing about Monday.
So can we go back to Mondays, Travis?
No, because Monday, here's a couple of things about Monday. Is one, most of my children's sporting events, like practices and shit are on Monday. And two, like the place that I go for wings on Monday, we go a little bit later. It's four for a dollar. They're like breaded, like deep fried breaded wings, which are really good. So we go in there and you usually want to get there about 6:30, 7 o'clock. And they've been taking a long time to bring out the food lately, but their wings are good. But now Tuesdays, Buffalo Wild Wings, buy one, get one. We can get right up there at like 5:30. Stay for a while, enjoy a few beverages, and still be back to do the show. But if I did it on Monday with the wings, I couldn't make the show on Mondays.
So, Travis, what happened was I was tricked by the White Claw.
Well, there ain't no laws when you're drinking White Claws.
The Popeye's chicken, it spooked me, because what happened is everybody talked about how good that Popeye's chicken sandwich was, and then Popeye's just said, we're out. We don't got no more. Don't come here. And so I can't help but think that I've truly missed out on a happening. And so when I saw the – and it's brilliant because they're not running out of White Claw. They put out on Twitter, guys, we're running out of White Claw. And so when I was at Walmart today, I saw White Claw and I thought, you know what? I got to get some of this fucking White Claw that everybody's so
excited
about.
I need to go control that dog, dude.
You gotta get that White Claw so you can sell it on Facebook Marketplace or on eBay.
So I buy me a 12-pack of the White Claw, Travis.
What flavor?
What flavor?
It was a variety pack. It was four different flavors. And I got it home. And I mean, I drank one. It's fine.
It's fucking seltzer water. Yeah, if you like seltzer water, you'll like it just fine.
I mean,
I will say the one thing about White Claw is it's pretty potent.
Yeah, I got a little buzzed before we talked to William Hung, Travis. Drinking a White Claw like a teenage girl, and it was fine. And now I got 11 more.
A lot of things you do are like a teenage girl. Actually,
I got 28 more Natter Days to drink. I got 11 more White Claws.
Dump those down the drain.
Travis,
sick.
What happens is I keep getting mixed up in the habit.
You're like my wife. Like she goes, like she'll buy like a 12 pack of some random bullshit or a 6-pack of some random bullshit. She'll drink one, maybe two, and my entire like screen porch cooler is going to be filled with like three bottles of this
with
and
nonsense,
two cans of that.
Nonsense. Because we got the FOMO.
Trav, you'll drink it.
I will not drink that bullshit. Anything fruity. I had a White Claw a few weeks ago when we were at that campground, when we were right on the beach with our little cabin or whatever, I got up and I'm like, well, it's a little bit too early for a beer. And I opened up the cooler. I'm like, oh, let's have one of these fucking White Claw things. And I took a drink and I like recoiled in horror. But I did end up finishing
it. It's fine, Trent.
I mean, I assume it's a clearly Canadian is basically what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those bubblies.
Yeah, it's just only, a seltzer water.
Only
like,
it'll get you drunk.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
You put your alcohol in that.
Drunk, do you have? Because, I mean, we can't go too long drunk. The people will lose their fucking minds drunk.
They riot. Drunk, they turn it off.
Drunk. We had a contest last week
got zero
entries. You know who won the contest? Nobody. Because nobody entered the contest drunk.
This prize closet is overflowing. Because
Travis, nobody ever enters our contests.
Travis, how are we going to get rid of the stuff in the prize closet?
Remember when we used to get like flat drunk submissions out the wazoo? And now
we'd get hand turkeys, flat drunks. We'd get, I don't know what's happening.
My God, Travis, what is happening? We do show 400. We put out a couple extra episodes and everybody says, no, we will not enter your contests in a boat. We will not enter your contests with a goat. We will not download your show today.
We won't download your show anyway.
Drunk, do you have like a pick of the week?
Sure,
something you want the people
to
know about?
Drunk's pick of the week is the movie Groupers. Go out there, get your tickets, and support.
The one person on the show who didn't watch Groupers is putting Groupers out as his pick of the week.
On a side note, as news for the week for this guy here.
You got news?
I will be becoming a second-time godfather on Sunday.
Holy shit, I thought you were going to say you were going to have a kid.
I did too for
a
second.
No.
Things are moving fast in the personal life of drunk, Travis. You never know when one of those big announcements is going to come.
You don't know. He's got that brand new Mitsubishi or whatever. And talking about moving across country. And
wow. God,
who can ever
things
tell?
Are moving fast in the world of drunk, guys.
Yeah. Can't keep up.
Enjoy them while you can.
So,
because once that kid comes.
That won't happen.
We'll see. So Groupers.
Just like the kid that you're getting ready to have.
Huh?
Just like the kid you're getting ready to have.
Oh, no. Yeah. I don't think my stuff works.
Well, I know.
I don't shoot.
I know you don't.
I don't shoot. It just
told me plenty of
like
times.
Like when you put too much soda in a glass, just kind of comes out.
Boils over.
Yeah. Like a volcano science experiment. You know what I'm saying? Like you put just like one Mentos in a Diet Coke. Not the whole package, just one. Travis, you got like a pick of the week, Travis? Something you want the people to know about?
Oh, I do. This week, my pick of the week is The Outsider, a novel by Stephen King.
New one?
It's about a guy named Terry Maitland, a small town husband, father, teacher, and peewee baseball coach. He's accused of the murder and sexual assault of a young boy.
Oh, no.
Police have like an airtight case against Maitland with eyewitnesses and all these kind of things. But Maitland also has a perfect alibi with eyewitnesses of his own placing him out of town at the time of the murder. I guess the basis is how can one man be in two places at one time? And it's answered in only a way that Stephen King can. Read The Outsider by Stephen King.
Oh, I did the audiobook of that one. The guy from Independence Day reads it.
Oh, yeah. They're making a limited series on HBO,
which
too.
Guy from Independence?
Is it William Sadler? Is that his name, Travis?
Oh, yeah. William Sadler.
That's probably not the right name.
Yeah. Bill Pullman?
No, it's not Bill. He's dead. No, Bill Pullman's not dead. Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton's dead.
Guys, I saw It too. It too was great.
Which guy from Independence?
I can't wait to see it, too.
Drunk, do I really need to look this up? Is it really important that I look it up right now?
Major Mitchell?
Billy Baldwin?
Independence Day. I know he was in Independence Day. It's William. I know it's William.
He was Will Smith's fighter pilot buddy that dies.
Harry Connick Jr.?
Yeah, that's who that was.
No. No, you fucking idiots. God, how far down the fucking cast list is this guy? He was in Independence Day, wasn't he?
I don't think he was in Independence Day. You're probably thinking he was in The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, you know what he was in? He was in Armageddon.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he wasn't in Independence Day.
Owen Wilson?
No, Will Patton. Will Patton.
Oh, Will Patton.
Yeah.
He did the audiobook version?
Yeah, it's great, Travis. It's great.
It's a great story. Great book.
Yeah. So there we go. Guys, I saw It 2 this past weekend.
Terrible.
No, it was great. It was fun. Hader steals it.
That's what I hear is that great. It's all him.
I mean, doesn't he steal just about everything he's in?
Yeah. I mean, the other guys are fine. Old Spice guy, he's fine. He's pretty good in it. But yeah, Hader steals that shit. So,
British Baking Show's back this week. Last week on Netflix.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
One episode at a time though. This time,
I know it's suspenseful now.
Guys, we'll do it again next week. We appreciate all these guys. Check out William Hung's book. Check out Groupers.
Thanks to our guests tonight. They were great.
It was fun.
I was about to say, we can't do any better than that.
Breezed by, Travis. The hour breezed by, but we can't do longer. Can't.
No, got to shut her down. Actually, we're probably about 3 minutes over, so we should probably wrap it up.
Get off.
Guns that fuck that? I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly.
Thanks for listening to this installment of WFOD. If you enjoyed it, subscribe so you don't miss the next one. Leave a review, tell a friend. You can also listen live every Tuesday night on strangelabel.com. There's other programs on that station that you should check out as well. You can interact with us via phone, 636-487-HAND, via email, Mike, Travis, Drunk, or Matt at WFODshow.com. We're at WFODix on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon, Liquid Lozenge and Brian Krantz. If you'd like to become a Patreon sponsor, it's patreon.com/WFODix. You get about 20 minutes of bonus content for as little as $1 a month, and that's going to change soon. Start doing a bonus show. Get in early. Guys, our entire back catalog is on WFODshow.com. Check out a couple back episodes. We've got the whole damn thing up there.
I can fly.
Yeah. And thanks. Thanks to Anderson Cowan. Thanks to William Hung for joining us tonight. We'll do it again next week. So take care. Believe in miracles, baby. Believe in it.
I think it's $250,000.
If I just spread my wings, I can
stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself.